Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, Our General, Insurance Made Simple.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. West Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Now let me see now, 326 EPI. I see. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Epic Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the family island.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On set, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 6.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust you're doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 254-316. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So today we have an open line today. Lots going on. Lots of topical issues in the country. I thought it's best that you kind of feel some things that may be on your mind and on your heart. So you can let me know. There are some things I certainly want to talk about. So again, text, question, and somebody have. I had a little chuckle today with former Prime Minister Ingram. I said to him, I said, man, I thought you ended that situation of cutting the fires here when they were all in prison. He said, that was one of the first orders I gave to the commissioner, police commissioner Barnaby, when I became prime minister. He said, but that was under the Ingram era. So that's a discontinued policy. It's a discontinued policy. When that discontinued? When the day after Hubert Ingram introduced the notion of respecting Rastafari to his religious expression and not cutting on a routine in them days on imprisonment. When did that end? Was it under a Christie administration? Was it under a Minnis administration? Was it under a Davis administration? The present matter that is before the courts that some people are talking about now, when was that introduced? I didn't quite get the details of it. But I find that curious. In a 21st century Bahamas, where we, I thought, were a little bit more enlightened on matters of free expression, religious expression, or conscience, I thought we were a little more enlightened. And then maybe someone could tell us, maybe you out there, you in law enforcement, you could tell us what the rationale is for cutting the hair. Is it a security risk? Is it a health risk? What would be the reason for cutting the hair in the first instance? If somebody says this is one of the expressions of my conscience, my religious convictions, what would be the rationale? See, policy without rationality is rarely only spurious, opinionating behavior on the part of an official. You know, can you imagine living in a society where an official just decides, "I don't like you wearing that. I don't like you cutting your hair that way," and then does it? And so you ask them, "Well, why? Why do you have such a problem?" And they ignore you. They tell you that they don't. They say, "This is what I think we should do." No, that's not. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. I don't know. These texts seem to be, can't be from today. I don't think so. Okay. So I'm curious. I don't know, it's amazing we are having a court battle about this. And I don't know, anybody know the case? Anybody know what the arguments are that were presented to as to why this ought to be the case? If you know, let me know. I heard some commentary about some people commenting, some comments made by Joe Leader about monies he paid to Sir Lyndon Tinling, the now deceased and former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the father of the nation, so designated by the country, first done so under an Ingram administration. Of course, accusations are free, and anyone could allege anything. And there is, as far as I am aware, no evidence in support of any such assertion. And notwithstanding the comments made by Mr. Leader, the fact of Sir Lyndon's contribution to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas shall remain undisputed. Right? That he and legend in the Bahamas will remain intact. Right? Now, again, the comments made are without evidence. We do know from revelations of the Commission of Inquiry any number of things in relation to Sir Lyndon, his governance, government, and all that, but those are matters of record. But that particular fact is not as being substantiated, as far as I'm aware, in the records. And so
technical challenges ironed out, and they're not on my side. I just want you all to know. And sometimes they're on my side, but this time they're not on my side. So hopefully we'll get past it. As I indicated to you, today is open line. If you have a comment, question, query, happy to hear that. If you want to address, speak to any issue whatsoever, we're happy to do that. I only I started with two matters, the case involving the Rastafarian haircutting that people seem to have been talking about, and then comments made by Joe Leader in his new book and an interview about the book. Don't ask me what true and what ain't true, like what is evidential. And I don't have no evidence to support any claim. $150,000 a month by anybody. But as I indicated before, the fact of Sir Lyndon's valuable contribution to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would be undisputed for as long as I think there will be Bahamian history. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z. How you feeling, man? How you feeling? Nice overcast day today. Nice breezy. Good breeze. Nice and cool.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay, all right. Now, the situation we're just talking about, I remember back in the 80s or 90s, too. 90s, and it went all about going all the way to the Privy Council, and then they did vindicate. They don't care. But on this situation I'm hearing, the judge saying is a fashion master, because you realize now You see, like back in the day when Bob Marley first came, when all them fellas are Rasta, you got some fashion dreadlocks, right? You buy weave and go and get a twine in the hair or plait in the hair. You know, so the court might then establish this when they're eating all that duppy, all that pork, all that pig feet and things. And things say that. So they must be established. He's a fashion Rasta, because that's what I hear on the news. The judge, he's a fashion Rasta, so no genuine locks.
But what does that mean, though? Because the way some people dress in response to their religious conviction is fashion. That's for them, right? So, for instance, whether they wear all white or they wear a certain kind of garb or they wear certain robes, etc., that's all fashion for them, but that's still part of their religious expression. So because I don't get to grow my locks, maybe
then you gotta eat no pork, and then you gotta eat strictly ISIL fish and things. And then you gotta worship Eli Selassie. Well, they say they given a master man and a lot of ounce of weed in the privacy of his own home. So if they're gonna establish a raster man, then ounce of weed in the privacy of his own home. So they must know the difference between raster and non-raster. That's all I can say. And on the other situation,
the one good thing is in the courts is where all the evidence have to be put, and then determinations made as to whether somebody is bona fide practicing their religion or not. And the court is the right and appropriate place for that.
Yeah, he's go down by the church on country. He's go down to Island Drive in the back there, under Prophet Priest Whitman and things like that. He's a part of that team. If he ain't a part of them, if he ain't by country, then ain't nothing happening. Like I asked Aaron this morning, what they put on the Tribune, I don't understand it. If one of your principals won a nomination for the PLP, for the My Card, well, why would you print that? That's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, yeah, that nomination.
Why you only print what?
No, the Tribune and the Tribune print the $100,000 a month. Kind of what Joe Leader say? It was the Tribune that printed, right? Right, and one of the principals of the Tribune, the Karen man, I can't remember his first name, and he won a nomination for the PLD in the My Card. So why would your paper PLD won a nomination from the PLD?
Well, the thing about it is, if you think that's newsworthy and maybe you want to show that your paper won't be influenced by your political affiliation, then you might do that. But I don't know if it was the Tribune. I don't see that in the Tribune.
Yeah, it's in the Tribune. I make sure after this morning, it's there on the front page of the Tribune. I make sure after.
Tribune, I see. Okay.
I know one thing. Fred Mitchell ain't buying that. You could forget that. Fred Mitchell, you ain't getting no nomination. You could vote the Prince and make it look like you ain't buying. But you see how they get on the eye? They get on the head, but they don't sue and all that. So you might as well go to half of them go get a nomination now. So let me let someone else get it. I see. Put a good show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. That's an interesting observation he just made, for sure. Ah, boy. Oh, it was in yesterday's Tribune. Yeah. I don't know. I listen, man, the things are so strange these days. All kinds of strange things are happening. I don't claim to know and understand all of it. Yeah, so somebody says the Tribune is trying to show that they can be unbiased. Well, I can tell you one thing, buddy. When you have publicly stated your interest in pursuing a nomination for candidacy in a particular party, you could try till the cows come home to tell people you aim, guys. I don't think you can get away with it too much. I don't think so. And Brother Karen will understand that and face that. And will create conflicts between himself and the people he is seeking to become affiliated with in terms of his candidacy. Because the reality of the matter is, Sir Lyndon Plinden is legend in the country. But within the PLP, sacred. Now, you don't print a story of an allegation for which there is, I don't think concrete evidence. You put it on the front page. Because now, who is Joe Leader? Is Joe Leader a saint? Is Joe Leader one of those individuals with whom you say his character is impeccable? Is Joe Leader somebody who is so known for doing noble things that his word should be sacrosanct? He's not. And he's written a book and he's trying to sell a book. And he makes a statement and he makes a claim. And it is front page of your paper. And you are trying to be the PLP candidate in Macan? You know what has happened next? What happens is you print that, and now you know what you got to do. You have to swing the next story so opposite to that. People go like, oh, yeah, but see what he print with the FNF? It's just strange. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. This is open line today, so come on. Talk to me. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. When I saw the story, some things came, you know, some questions run through my mind. I wanted to know the purpose for this interview and why it was aired at this time, because I just couldn't understand it, you know, because Lyndon has been dead now for over two decades. So, I mean, all of the players in it, is dead. So I just don't understand it. And for me, another thing ran through my mind. I said maybe when I saw Mr. Karen on seeking the nomination from the PLP, the obvious thing that came to my mind is maybe he didn't get the nomination. You know, this story just appeared, but I can't see it. I can't see him still getting that nomination. And just like you said, those that are going to stay good within the PLP, and it's going to be interesting to see how this one is going to play out. That's all I
can. I think so. I don't know. Nobody has been named a candidate for the PLP, as far as I know. Nobody has been ruled out, per se, as far as I know. So, you know, is this a shot over the bow? You know, they say, you do something and show them, listen, bro, don't mess with me. But I cannot see the Progressive Liberal Party being happy about that. I cannot see them being happy about that, right? Again, if it was a story in which there was some new evidence that presented some new facts that could be attached to something, you could say, okay, but this news, you know, this is news. But I mean, we didn't run through all of these kinds of things about the 80s and what have you. And I don't know. But please give us a call, 323-6232 or 325-4316 from Family Islands, 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This says, so we can't write stories about Columbus or Hitler or old slave masters anymore just because they're dead. No, not at all. I don't think the death of somebody has anything to do with it, especially public figures. Public figures, their histories are litigated through almost the course of human history, right? You are still having documentaries about Hitler, still having documentaries about Stalin, still having documentaries about Alexander the Great and about Kublai Khan and all these kinds of stuff. So, and as new evidence from history, historians or archaeologists and the like dig up things, you can get that. So that's really not even the case. I think the issue here is, well, maybe the figuring, the leader says something about Penland, maybe that's news. And so who knows? My only point about it is that I didn't see any new evidence to support what your leader said, and so I don't know. I don't know. So it's a stab out there. What happened? The Guardian didn't get that story. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. In terms of the issue surrounding whether it was a power situation, and I hear when you said that there's no new information, but for a lot of us as young people, young leaders, being able to dive into what today's communications are about these matters is kind of new for us, for some of us.
That's true. It's new for some of you, but that's what makes this so dangerous, though, because here you have something that's popping up that provides you no context, evidence of an allegation. Can I just go out there and say I am some drug dealer used to pay so and so $100,000 a month? Just say it. I could just go there and say that.
No. And you would be perceived as wrong for doing that.
Exactly. So and if somebody prints it, you know, you wonder, okay, yeah, but you know, what's the basis of believing that to be credible, right? So if you are somebody who's truly interested in understanding what happened around that time, a newspaper article like that wouldn't be the place to start. There is a commission of inquiry document
that you
could read and get an abundance of information.
However, Mr. Lang, right? what I do want to speak to is how I wouldn't say the intentional timing, but how the timing coincides with the indictment that's currently going on in the U.S. And it causes one to wonder, or even in watering holes, you hear terms like, oh, you know, corruption is nothing new in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in terms of drug trafficking and so forth. And so you wonder if this kind of behavior is still going on when you look at the details of the indictment per se. And so for us as younger people, this is relatively not new, but we're wondering if there are any dots historically that ought to be connected as it relates to this kind of behavior by individuals in our society, especially involving government.
Understood. I understand, bro.
Thank
Again,
you,
I repeat, that's one of the dangers of it. But thanks for calling. We appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Lang, how you do today, sir?
I am good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah. Two things quickly, please. One with the Tribune, the story in the Tribune. Bad news sells. Mm-hmm. If a young man get 8 A's on a BGCSE, that'd be on the 3rd, 4th, 5th page in the newspaper. But a young man of the same age stabs and kills somebody, that's on the front page. Bad news sell.
Well, we know that's not
news. They figured that was a way to sell some papers. But was this thing that Mr. Leader said about Celinda and Finland, did he say this when he was in court testifying? Was any of this said in court? Was any of this said while he was on trial? What are you saying now about this $150,000 a month and all that?
I'm not aware of it. I'm not aware.
But another thing, too. You know, I have to talk a little piece of politics. You my politics friend. The 7 candidates last week, Thursday. You are a honest and truthful person. How do you feel about them? If the PLP were to run the same candidates that they have now in those constituencies, let's just say they're not going to move. Now we know one or two or three of them might run no more. But let's just say we run them with the same 7 right now. Just them 7 now. We're not talking about the general election. There's those 7 seats with those 7 candidates that the FNM put on Thursday night. How do you think they would fare?
Well, why would I know? I think they'd fare just as well as anybody else in the circumstance. Depends on what people want to do at this particular time in those constituencies. So they are all capable, credible candidates. So what's the problem?
Okay. Good. I take your answer. But I line up a a head of McDonald's, that's the last name, McDonald, I think, with a Glennis Hannah Martin.
And then people get to choose, and if they don't succeed, then you are good. And if they succeed,
I line up a deal with a Monroe.
Let me explain something to you. Right?
Go ahead.
It depends on the circumstances. Because if you had posed the same question to people in 1997, when a Shivago line was lined up against a Franklin Wilson, you might have said the same thing. I don't see any competition there.
Okay. You had run against the Franklin in 97?
In 97, a 29-year-old newcomer who declared $14,000 as his net worth against somebody who declared $14 million.
You have plenty of money, man. $14,000, that's plenty of money.
That was my net worth. Stop talking foolishness. There's no circumstance in which $14,000 is no lot of money for no net worth. Stop that.
$14,000?
Stop talking nonsense.
And
$14,000.
Rodney, clear a couple trillion. You know what people running in this general election coming up?
You know something?
Let's be real, man.
Get off my radio, man, because you came to talk politics. You ain't talking no sense today.
All right, you have a good day.
You too, man. Do we have another caller on the line? Man, declare $14 million. I declare $14,000. He can tell me, but that's plenty. I got plenty of money. Boy, there's something wrong with you. Somebody is asking who was Joe Leader? Who is Joe Leader? Well, Joe Leader was a notorious drug dealer. He was one of those very high-profile individuals in the prolific days of drug trafficking in the 70s and 80s. And he claimed that while many other cartels sought to use and transfer their stuff through, South America and all that kind of stuff. He was using, like, the Bahamas as a place to transport his stuff. And he featured heavily in lots of conversations around the Bahamas' drug trafficking, transshipment days. And so when he goes out there and makes comments about what he has not done, people will listen because it makes for a good talk. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. With the long hair, locks, men, hair should be a nice shortcut and look like a man. And with the pending situation that was happening from the UBP time, white people slick with their move. So Peter ain't no better than Paul. It was going on from Noah, Bill, I am not sure what to make of your comment, to be honest with you. I don't know. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. In my opinion, it may be rising for the book. I don't. The statement prove anything one way or the other. Yeah. Say to the caller, it's the people's choice at the polls. Always. I don't know why he didn't just come out and say what he wanted to say, which was, if you put these PLPs against these FNMs, PLP win. That's what he should have said, because that's what he probably wanted to say. So isn't this name Carlos Leader, Mr. Lang? Was he known as Joe Leader? Carlos Leader? Maybe it's Carlos Leader. People calling him Joe. Listen,
Let me see. It could be Carlos Jolie, though. Maybe, right? But that person who is being talked about is Carlos Enrique Lira. He was a Colombian trafficker of Armenian descent, right? And was the business partner of Pablo Escobar, who was head of the Medellin drug cartel, right? And so he was, you all know the man was born on my birthday, September 7th. Wow. Okay.
Open line today. If you have a interest, thought, please let me know. I have a couple other things I wanted to mention around education too, because I hear some things people mention about parental involvement in education, and some interesting suggestions around the incentivizing of parents and all that kind of stuff. So I want to throw something out to y'all about that, because firstly, let me note that you cannot have a broad population of mixed circumstances and believe that it is going to be possible to commandeer all those circumstances to produce a outcome in education that just is so pretty that all of you get on these radio stations and go, oh, look how great our education system is doing. Oh, look how great our education system is doing. It ain't gonna happen. There's so many varied circumstances. And sometimes people say, oh, if the parent do this, and if the, yeah, but the parents haven't done that. So you have people whose parents haven't done this, and therefore you have that as part of the circumstance. So when we come back, maybe let's look at that and talk about some things. All right. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested, it's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
Radio.
your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On this Open Line Tuesday, if you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes. A pleasant good afternoon to you, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
The caller that called just before you would have gone to the news, I find him so disingenuous. I've been listening to him for a while. He believes that once you're running as a PLP, that's it. He compares the PLP candidates to those of the Free National Movement. And he just goes down the line and say, I was watching the FNM. Do you think they can match up to a PLP? I thought, Mr. Lang, that we are in a country where we are trying to make our country better. That means PLPs, FNMs, COI or whatever, all can contribute. It's not the money, it's not the fame, it's not the name. It's what in your heart that will better this country. Compassion, ability to create an atmosphere, an opportunity that where all of us can have a chance. But this particular man just goes on and compares FNM to PLP, and as though, well, once you're a PLP, you're good. And if you're FNM, I'm going to diminish you. I just find it hard to believe.
Got you. Thank you very much, ma'am.
One more thing, Mr. Lang, not keeping you. And then there's evidence to show that even in elections gone by, where there were hard hitters from the PLP and they got wiped out. So what are we saying? The people will
see. Yeah, too much evidence. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you calling. So we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Mr. Lang, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. What's happening?
Hello, Mr. Lang?
Yes, I'm listening to you, sir.
Yeah. Do you Google him?
Did I Google Carlos Lira?
Yeah, you Google. I won't give you four names. I want you to Google those names because you asked
You can't give them to me on the radio. I ain't remember all of them, man. You can text them to me.
No. I just want it for further reference.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Howard Hughes.
Yes.
Robert Vasco.
Yes.
Joe Leader.
Yes.
And Kojak.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with all those personalities. Yes.
Just Google. And one thing I want to flush that out to the audience, to the listening audience.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, see, I want to touch on that right there, too. But let me just say this to Mr. Anderson, Julian Anderson. I keep telling you, restripment be the sitting prime minister.
Yes.
So stop coming up this way and talking foolishness, man. A veteran MP from 77, a sitting prime minister, restripment selling packing. How you could say like any street show? Now,
Sylvia Scrivens beat Adriana.
Thank you. And like you were saying to a young Chicago Sean Lang, Franklin Wilson from 26, Franklin the Snake Wilson, 14 million. So if he say 14,000 is plenty money, then what is 14 million? Huh? If that's what he's trying to put on you. Anderson, you want
it depends
to
on the second.
Wait, but after this election, wait, you better have one Dr. Ron or something after this election, but you have someone close who's dealing with heart. Now, just to add to what you were saying, to the young Dexter about the Carlos Joe leader, what ties him to the Bahamas and everything like that, I think the PLP administration leased him Normansky.
Normansky, yes.
Right. They leased him Normansky. So that's what PLP administration and everything.
Yeah.
And I heard the interview where they had him charged for the 9 tons of cocaine imported into the U.S. And he said that he run it right through the Bahamas to Normansky.
Yeah.
He put up this hangar to hide the planes and all of that. And I know someone who was billing runways for him over the trucking company back in the 70s with Waco Normansky. And who said they come across a room with boxes of money. Boxes of money. So,
and that ain't no, and that, that, hey, we know what time it is. We know what time it is. You know, I have a, I told you all before, I have a brother. He's deceased now. He's deceased. I don't know if you ever heard of the name Brother Hearns.
Yeah, I heard with him too. You talking with him
He was a witness in the Commission of Inquiry because these things and them them brethren them see up front, up close.
Thank you.
Personal. Right?
So Lyndon had to go on NBC in 83 to defend that key and defend his leadership and everything like that too. And Brian Ross was fired. For the young people, that's all they want y'all to know, that little piece of history. That's what ties the Bahamas up in this mix up. All right, let me let someone else get it.
Yeah. Appreciate you calling, man. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Listening to you, now. The lady who called this now spoke about previous caller with this ingenuous. I agree with your response to her. But also, I mean, because she listened to the entire Guardian staff and the talk host. Like, I mean, it's always one-sided. You know, you have people on these call talk shows who speak about a political party, who speak about a political party. I mean, I see it's fair. I mean, I won't call no one disingenuous because...
Yeah, if that's how she sees it and that's what she wants to say, a term it as, that's on her.
Yeah, I like your response to her. You agree with her. And I like that.
No. But don't call here talking stupidness. I did not agree with anybody. I listened to her, just as I listened to the previous caller. Okay, don't talk no nonsense to me, man. If you want to defend something, go defend yourself. But don't try and accuse me of doing something I did not do. Absolute nonsense. Right? And I keep telling you all, if you all think that the Guardian or myself or anybody else is so biased, why you keep listening? Why would you subject yourself to that? You know why? Because you know what time it is. You know you'll be getting good information. You can't help it. All right. Do we have? I listened to that lady. She called. She made a point. That's all I did. What you wanted me to do? Row out? To make you feel better? This Texas, Mr. Hannah said, no woman can beat him. Keep your cool, Mr. Lang. I ain't keeping my cool. He called me, accusing me of something I did not do. My blood pressure air raised one bar. That's just the drama of voice, man. That's what, you know, when I first came to this radio station, I'll never forget Paul Fernando, very helpful. Paul Fernando says, Chicago, the drama and dynamism of radio is voice. He said, because nobody could see your face on the radio. They don't know your gestures on the radio. They could only hear your voice. So it is in your modulation. It is in your tonations and all that kind of stuff that you create dynamism for your voice. I can't imagine how... This text says, I lost a refrigerator on the weekend because of the power. Oh, by the way, this person says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The power is off in most parts of Eleuthero. Again, this is past frustrating. Suck my... They didn't say suck my teeth, but as I say, I lost a refrigerator on the weekend because of the power surges. The text says, the man who stole paradise features as chapter 9 in the book and highlights individuals from the Bahamas who were said to have played a role in the business. This book will stay in my archives until I pass. I wanted to know why would they call a man Joe, and his name is Carlos, laugh out loud. I know. Sure must he just sound better. They must have used to call him Joe. People evolve all kinds of nicknames, you know. I was on Paradise Island one time, and this fella called out to my next fella. He say, "Afterbreak, come here." Can you imagine that? Your nickname is Afterbreak? That was crazy. All right. Again, if you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, people are strange. That lady called to comment on a text. Since then, a male called in to criticize the same texter, but that male called to defend that fella against the female and said nothing against the male. Nah, how you explain that to me? Yeah, we know it's Carlos Lito now. We've settled that it's Carlos Lito. I got you. Oh, so I was saying to you guys, in a classroom, his name is Carlos Jolita. See, that's what I, yeah. In a classroom, you have all kinds of children from all kinds of backgrounds, right? You have children who are from two-parent households. You have children who are from single-parent households. The children from two-parent households could be from two-parent households where the parents are cohesive, meaning they get harmonized and doing things well, or they could be non-cohesive. You could have them in two households where one parent sleep in one room and the other parent sleeping in the other room. Y'all wouldn't believe how much circumstances happen in there. You could have in a two-parent household a two parents with financial stability, or you could have two parents with non-financial stability, so all kind of stress could be in the household. You could have two-parent households where you can have the two parents are foreign, or two parents are Bahamians, or one parent is foreign and one parent is Bahamian. You could have all of these variations of things happening in these households from which these children come. And then you could have a single-parent household where one of the parents is a male and one is a female. One could be where either could be financially stable or non-financially stable, where one could be responsible and one could be non-responsible. You could have all kinds of variation, and parents and teachers have to contend with all of these children who show up in the class, because you don't just show up in the class with a mind. You show up in a class with a history, with circumstances, with stressors, with all kinds of things that play on your ability to learn. All kinds of things. So when I hear people talk about, oh, you only need to do this and you only need that, these are people who absolutely have no regard for the absolute complexity and sophistication of the human enterprise. You have children who sit in a class and commit themselves. I have seen it. They study, they read, they do everything. And then they take a test and get a C or a D. And another student who is not so dedicated takes the same test, get a B or an A. I ain't asking nobody. I lived this experience. I have student friends of mine who I knew were dedicated, studied hard, did what they could do. And me, I walk right inside the classroom. I studied for the exam 1 hour before school, 1 hour before school, get a 98%. That was regular for me. We're different. There are different circumstances that are imposing upon our ability to learn. And it is for that reason, this thought that everybody's going to pop out of school being one way. It is fallacious. It doesn't happen in Japan. It doesn't happen in China. It doesn't happen in India. It doesn't happen in Norway. It doesn't happen anywhere. Every child does not come out of the school system the same way. And every child don't stay in the school system in none of those places either, even if the degree of may be different. And we have to bear that in mind, then be running around, the solution is this, the solution is that, the solution. No, you try whatever you could try that you think will help to improve a child's circumstance and opportunity to succeed in school. And try it, especially if there's research to support it. They tried it this way in one place and that way in one place, and this place seems to have a similar cultural context to yours. Try it. But don't believe that in the public education system, see, in a private school, they've already gotten a natural filter. The fact that you have to pay means there are certain people ain't getting in that school. People of certain socioeconomic status will not get into that school as a general rule, because you got to pay. That factor also means that you're likely, more likely than not, to get another set of people, perhaps educated, perhaps to parent, or something of that nature. Why? Because of that single you have to pay filter. That then means that your outcomes are going to be different because you have a more monogamous group. You have a more similar group, socioeconomic group, than the mixed circumstances you would get in a public school where they have to take all comers. And that matters to the outcome. It affects the circumstance, right? And then these same schools who can call on their higher affluent alumni can afford the school certain things that the public school struggles to support and provide, because they can't go to the alumni. Most alumni ain't going back to them school to do nothing. 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 You check public school students who graduated from public schools. As a general rule, they ain't going back there to do nothing. I didn't say that's true for every. Stack says that, good day, Zhivago. Thanks for the open line show. I would like to bring to the attention of the authorities, that is, the police, the high rate of speed, Mack trucks, trailers, and other big trucks traveling on JFK Drive, the airport road. I travel to and from on the road to work. When I see them, I slow down my pulling to another lane, let them pass me. They look like planes on the ground at such high rates of speed. I am calling on the police to address this matter to avoid loss of life. Thanks. You know, I experienced that in Nassau the other day. I mean, it's true. I mean, them dudes, they be driving with speeds like it ain't nothing. And those are very big vehicles for sure. Very big vehicles. The only problem is, you know, the police have to be around. When they're speeding like that, if the police is around, perhaps they'll do something. But more often than not, probably they do it when the police is not around. So we have all these stances in public school, the public school system. We got foreigners in the public school system. They have peculiarities that have to be attended to. And so the public education system has to contend with all of this. And a lot of people point to the high degree of parental non-involvement in the school. And it is true. And nobody, I don't want to judge parents. I mean, because people face circumstances that make it difficult and challenging to be as involved as they would like, et cetera, and so forth and so forth. And yeah, you could argue about people who, they shouldn't have had these kids in the first place, but they didn't have the children though. So what is an argument about they shouldn't have the children to begin with? They don't have the children. The children are here and they are theirs. You need to have that argument with the kids who ain't had no kids yet. Say, please don't have no children if you don't think you could take care of them. Please. But the people who didn't have the children are here. And they are in the schools. So you got to be able to contend with that. I thought Anton did a brilliant job when he talked about this on Dwight's show. He said you have to deal with both sides of the story, man. Your children are here, and their parents are maybe not so good in terms of parenting, but they're here, and we have to deal with them. You can't wish them away. I give them away. They are here. So I don't know that there's any single or two solutions to anything. But I do have an idea. It's just an idea that could have a comprehensive application across the system. Tell Antoine either hang up or hold on, but I want to throw this idea out first. You can take it home. I said this before. Imagine that you enter grade one. And on day one, you enter, your parents are presented with a stock certificate valued at $100. That's what the stock certificate is valued at. And imagine that you are told that it is conceivable that by the time this child graduates, this $100 stock certificate could be worth up to $10,000 for this child's continuing further education, either at seminars or technical institutes or university at home or abroad. And that this $100 value gets to either decrease or increase on the basis of a set of metrics which we shall take of the school that child participates in throughout the course of that child's journey, these public schools. They will relate to how well kept the school is in terms of physical infrastructure, how well this child performs, how often the child's parents attends PTA meetings and that kind of thing, or a set of instruments tied to positive learning outcomes. So the more of those that are true individually and collectively of that child, the more value gets assigned to that stock instrument so that could grow to $10,000 by the time that child gets 12th grade. How might something like that impact upon both the individual and collective consideration of that child education and their parents? There's a lot of details to be involved, but it's something that might be worth some consideration. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Shabaga. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm right up, man. Boy, look, I had to sign off for a moment, right? I had to deal with something else for a moment. But at last, when I was listening to you, you were scratching the egg with one of the callers where they were talking something about Celindon, and you went off on them.
No, not Celindon. You know, they were talking about another caller who called in about FNN candidates versus PLP candidates. And he was telling me that a lady called to criticize that person. He was telling me I didn't, and I agree with the lady, and that was untrue.
Okay. All right. All right. So, but I came right back in at the nick of time while you were talking about what's going on with the the challenges with parents and the likes, right? And I really love this suggestion that you put on the table, right? As a matter of fact, just tying into what you were speaking to, Shabago, how much do you propose the education is worth that the government provides at the University of the Bahamas for Bahamians who meet the criteria? How much do you propose that education is worth?
What do you mean, how much it's worth?
The dollar value.
Dollar value in terms of money, dollar value and how much it can
to provide
can
that
help
education
a child.
Free of charge to the Bahamian students.
Oh, the subvention by the government amounts to about $30 million, I understand.
Annually. No, I mean like, but for each individual child, what do you estimate that cost would be?
Yeah, It could be about $10,000, maybe more.
Okay, here's the reason why I asked you that. Because if the University of the Bahamas someday, one day, hopefully in the very near future, could become so independent in its operations that it relies very little, as little as possible, on government subvention, the government could almost do that right away, which you were talking about. And guarantee.
Well, actually, Anton, it's not like
the. Or if it's a burst of funds. Huh?
Yeah, no, actually, it's not. The university will not be free of government subvention anytime soon unless we raise tuition significantly for students or there's significant raising of funds in bursaries and stuff like that. But it need not be, Anton, because think about this. See, you could set the program up in such a way that what you say to a child is, if at the end of 12th grade, your stock value is $5,000, when you go use that at the University of the Bahamas, it'll be matched. So it'll be $10,000 for you. So now you're directing people to the University of Bahamas or Bahamas Technical Vocational Institute. So you're now directing government funds to an institute where the funds are already going to a government, institute.
So at that point, we are more strategically using government subvention to stimulate children, and in particular their parents.
In addition, the government needs to seed the funding for this program. So you give these investment brokerage firms the monies to go invest, so that you are building the money over time. Also, right. Mm. But here's the other thing is, think about what you are teaching children about business, investment, and saving.
One whole heap of things in that same operation.
That one certificate that they get at the beginning of the school year. Yes. And they get to have a statement sent to them at the end of every year.
Yes, yes. And that follows up through the entire primary, junior high, and high school years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. You entered a track meet that creates a certain interest bearing for the stock or a value creation for the stock. You enter junior achievers, that creates something. You are a participant in scouts, that's a something.
Mm-hmm.
All these things accrue to the value of the stock. You become a prefect. It accrues to the value of the stock. You get A's. It accrues to the value of the stock.
So in essence, Rabago, the government could literally fund a program like that right now based on how the government system is set up.
Easily. By just
reevaluating how it applies those funding instead of waiting for it to be applied at the very end when the child graduates. It could be applied on the front end to help to guide and stimulate and almost guarantee as much as humanly possible the exact outcome that we're looking for.
And you know what it does to good parents doing the right things who don't get incentivized? Right. Well, what do you think happens with a good parent who says, now I hope to stop and Lord, all these things I don't to try to have this child succeed. It bears a value that reduces my obligation to them in terms of schooling by about $10,000, maybe more.
It gives them something to look forward to and something to hold on to. Hope. That's real hope in the ground. Real hope in the ground that the government can pursue tomorrow if it wishes. Or maybe next semester if it wishes. Or next year if it wishes. It's just a matter of how it approaches doing or accomplishing what the end objective is. And so I love it, Chibago. I love it on your side of the suggestion as well as on my side of the suggestion, which you further aired out through your discussion just now. And so, you know, Chibago, you know, before I end, let me just say this, please. Two quick things, please. I appreciate what you expressed regarding Selinden and regarding evidence being able to be verified in order to be credible, right? Especially when you're targeting someone's reputation. right, or their character, right, or their legacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Chivago, I also appreciate the level of dialogue that comes about on your show, coupled with the mix of your experience and your know-how from the government sector in particular, but also from the private sector, because it makes for a good mix. And I would hope that if Prime Minister Davis doesn't see fit to do it of his governance, that he sees fit to develop truly a national think tank so that we can really get this national plan underway. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you, Chivago.
Appreciate you calling, man. Thank you. Thank you much. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey.
Okay, I heard, what's his name, Anton just now. And there was a couple years ago, I think it was the F&M company, who gave him some loan or whatever for education.
Well, there was a loan program established under Ingram, the education loan program. In fact, the first time it was done, I was the Minister of State for Education responsible for it. There's also a program of scholarships that was done, but really beefed up by Minnis.
Yeah, I remember that loan, and a lot of people take the money, they're going to go to this school or go away and this and that, and some never went. So,
no, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. People went to school. Some people their programs. Some people, and you know, never paid back the monies or stuff like that. But it was really few because the monies was paid out in most instances to the schools.
So some everybody went to the school when they got the money, as you know.
Yeah, you had to have been accepted into the university in order for the university to be sent the money.
Yeah,
to this day. But this is what you heard, though. I was in the program. We know there were controversies about the program, but it wasn't about people got the money and didn't go to school because you didn't get the money.
Okay, well, the government got left in the hole, right?
Man, all loan programs, education loan programs across the world end up in significant debt. All.
Okay, then. You look like you around me or what? Everything cool.
No, it's not a question around. No, you want a line of thought that fits into some narrative you have. And I'm trying to direct you toward facts. But you want to tell me what you heard, what you didn't hear. And then when I tell you differently, you are saying something different.
But the government...
Let me do this. Let me just leave you to run your propaganda. Go ahead.
No, what I'm saying, right? The government that left and never paid it back. That's what I was getting at.
Okay, I can't object to that. I told you that was what happened.
Okay. Well, that's one of the things. But anyhow, yeah, I just called and said that, you know, despite the government tried to help the people, you know, you gotta be careful with this thing. And, you know, I know it was a good gesture, but it didn't work out the way it ought to work out.
Okay. You sure?
That's why I called. Okay.
You sure? How many people got educated under the program?
No, some people got educated, but I think the government.
I'm asking you how many people.
In that program?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, in that program.
Well, I don't know how much. But I know for sure, the government was out of good money at the end of the day.
Mm. So, okay, thanks a lot. Yeah. Appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home.
More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactives, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibarago Lang, your host, and so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. This Texas IZ, this is an excellent proposition regarding the issuance of stock to parents for the future needs of children. It is well worth pursuing and could possibly succeed once the details are worked out by competent individuals. Excellent Z. I think there's great potential in it. I think so. I mean, and think about it. Now we get to look at all those factors that we think, based on research and otherwise, lend to student outcomes. And we can tie them to a wealth instrument that now a child gets to see. Well, how come my stock didn't do so well? Well, bro, sister, you are not participating in any extracurricular activity. Or do you all know how many chairs you all destroyed this year? Do you all know how many tables you right over the people's wall and had to be painted? Well, that's a deduction from the value of your stock. But it wasn't me who did that. No, it's your colleagues who did it, so we want you all to be responsible for each other and start to encourage each other not to do it. And so there's a sense of collective responsibility because what you do affects the value of my property, just like many homeowners know what their neighbors do affects the value of their property. I think it properly set up. Oh, man, I think it could have marvelous appeal. I'm not saying it fix all the problems or fix most of the problems. I'm just saying it's an instrument. That's all I'm saying. This says, so like I never said I wanted you to disagree with the lady. All I said was you agree with her like you do with most of the callers who contribute. you talking to Chicago line? But me? You think most of the callers would say that's what I do? Wow. So, but she must accept the reality that you are both supporters that do that. Okay, Mr. Lang, but even if the parent had the children without planning, there is always adoption. Sometimes I think that the state would be a better parent than a single parent. Okay. It says, I heard Dominique McCartney Russell propose the incentive program on Dwight's show this morning. She proposed students being rewarded with merits and points for parents being involved. Yeah. Okay. But think about it, though. We used to get merits and points when we were in school, too. And that faded away. I mean, like, merits and points do what for you at the end of the day? You know, when God was calling Abraham, he said, follow me and I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, milk and honey. Why did he not say to Abram, follow me and I will take you to a land full of flowing with intellectual enlightenment or spiritual enlightenment or heaven or that kind of thing? Why did he not say merit? Because he wanted to connect with something Abraham wanted and Abraham knew, which was milk and honey. Milk and honey means you eat well and you prosper. And so you have to find incentivization that connects with where people are. Right? It says, I thought it was a brilliant idea and this might spark renewed parent interest. Okay. So Mr. Lang, wasn't Miriam Emanuel chairperson of collecting outstanding debt from the education loans program under the minister's administration? I don't know, but I know that under that administration, Jeff Lloyd, the Minister of Education at the time, indicated that the delinquent loan amount was $83 million. $83 million. I think the outstanding amount of loans was $153 million. So the delinquent loans was almost half that amount. This text says, this could also be a plus for those in creative and athletic spheres. In all spheres, creative, athletic, intellectual, because you could be a debater and that kind of thing. So every single positive participation could be reflected in the program. I education is not a simple endeavor. But it does have some natural ingredients because, you know, most children are curious. And if that curiosity is fed into, it can help them learn. Most children engaging and can be engaging and engaged. And so if that is tapped into, it also creates opportunities for the learning process. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, great show, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Thank you.
Boy, thank the Lord above for that government loan that they give for us to go to school back in the day. A lot of people are actually have a lot of lucrative jobs based on the program, you know. A lot of people. That was a very great program. Whatever happened to that program? They still have it going on?
It's going on, you know, but you know, what happens now is they really only can pay out loans to the degree of payback. So it's not, you know, remember the first time there was nothing. So we brought $100 million to bear on it. You know what $100 million is?
I could use $100 million.
$100 million. So we were able to give loans out to thousands of students in the first instance. But now, as the program runs out of funds, the only way to get new loans out is if you have monies paid back into the fund.
Oh, that not happened then.
Not at the rate that you it should. And so therefore it's been a slowdown in the loans. But they still give out loans under the program. Oh, okay. But it won't be
that was a great program. A lot of people now enjoying great lucrative businesses and have great jobs based on that program, you know.
You want me to tell you something?
People really benefited from that program.
Let me tell you something. This is how sober we were when we implemented that program. This is how sober we were. And this was how conscious of the risk we were taking we were. We knew that Canada had a loan program, and we knew that it had heavy delinquencies. And other places in the world had heavy delinquencies. But you know what we considered? There was such a appetite for studying that maybe it was worth the risk to give thousands of Bahamians an opportunity to go and get a higher education, and that the country couldn't lose in the end, even if the government ended up in a financial hole as a consequence. That was the discussion we had. And we accepted that risk. And went the route we went.
Yeah, we should try funds, though, because we pissed a lot of...
are trying to get the funds back. I'm saying they are. It's not happening as quickly as one likes, but I'm saying it is happening, and that's why they are able to still give out loans under the program.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show, though. Have a good day.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you calling. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good evening again, Mr. Lang. I'm happy. I'm very happy today that it feels to me like it's a breath of fresh air, you know, because yesterday, after that result, some parents were being blamed, you know, for not doing enough. I'm hot, you know, and this incentive thing that you're talking about, you started it yesterday, and better it be stocks, better it be discount on utility bills, et cetera, whatever it is. I believe that I'm very interested in hearing you put it together going forward, because it can only increase the PTA attendance. It can only inspire kids and parents who make shift for the future success of these kids, man. I think it's an awesome suggestion you threw out. And once it's ironed out, I believe the government will buy into it.
I appreciate you calling, man. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. And I agree with you. If any incentive program can, if it's workable, it can help. This text says exactly, wasn't it Jeff Lloyd who launched a secondary collections program to get delinquent accounts up to date? Yes. And under the headline, we're coming after you. This text says, Mr. Lang, how is the constituency allowance given to MPs today? Is it deposited to their accounts, unlike when your government introduced it? Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it is deposited to every quarter. $25,000 is deposited to an account given to the Ministry of Finance by the Member of Parliament. I don't know that account to be a special purpose account. I just know it to be an account. My understanding is that the only way the next tranche of monies is deposited into that account for the next quarter is when a report is provided to the Ministry. Just $25,000 was spent. Is that actually happening? I do not know. Has any MP reported on the matter? I cannot recall so. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. I cannot recall so. But that is how I understand it works. When I was there, what happened was you submitted a project. You submitted a vendor to whom payment was to be made. And the Ministry of Finance made the payment directly to the vendor. We never received any funds to any account we had. We never got any monies cash in hand. Everything was paid to vendors identified for the projects that were provided. Okay. All righty. This says, okay, you know, we read that before. All right.
Okay. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Vargo, just 30 seconds. Just want to say one thing. You said something that I thought that it's a good lesson for all governments to keep in mind. I think it hit to the very soul and spirit of what politics should be about in this country. You said that when you were in government, your administration made the deliberate decision, recognizing the importance of education and the desire for Bahamian students to study abroad. You all took the decision, even recognizing there were challenges in other zip codes in providing scholarships to their citizens that they ended up in the red. You all took the deliberate decision and took the risk and invested the money in Bahamian students regardless. I think if that message could emanate from through policies and from policies, government in our country, especially the government of the day, I think Bahamians would feel appreciated, they would feel valued, and they would reciprocate that in return. Thank you for the opportunity, Shabaka.
Thanks, Anton. But you know, the truth is that whether they say it or not, you have some of that happening now. The funds that are being put into university students at the University of Bahamas and abroad, 20, 30, 40, $50 million, funds that are being put into entrepreneurial programs for the Bahamas Development Bank, the Venture Capital Fund, the Small and Medium-Sized Business Development Center. All of these things represent the government of the Bahamas saying, listen, man, the Bahamian people own this money. There are needs out there. There are desires out there. And they are risky. These entrepreneurial ventures, risky. These students, you know, risky to the extent that some may not even finish and so forth and so forth. But we believe that in the main, these are useful for the society. And it just so happens that the loan program was new, massive, and it was a big risk. And that risk was taken. And to this day, I will defend the decision to do so. To this day, notwithstanding the hole that the loan authority is in, I believe the Bahamas is better off for it. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great evening. Everybody.